You're listening to WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
The comments, views, and opinions of the following program do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of WCOM, its board, and underwriters.
Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, I want to talk to you about strategic delegation to grow your business. And I think this is something all of us struggle with at some point or another because we get so busy and we think busy is good, but busy isn't our goal. Productive, effective is our goal. And so I want to talk to you about how to optimize your output and your profit. So the reality of our world today is we all wish we had more hours in the day. And since that won't happen, it's critical that we make the best use of the hours we do have. So delegation is really the key to maximizing our results. You want to be productive and work towards your goals, not be overwhelmed by non-productive activity. So our goal is to optimize results instead of maximizing effort. So what do I mean? Well, many organizations and individuals focus on maximizing output and not measuring whether that output is done by the right people at the right time. And so a focus on maximizing output overlooks the importance of the results, the consolidated results of the entire organization versus individual performance. So output optimization focuses on utilizing the right resources for the task. It's all about the return on investment of your time and your money. So every business, especially small businesses, need to understand the difference when an organization uses higher value resources to perform lower value activities. That mismatch increases the cost of doing business. It reduces profit. So let's talk about what a high value task is versus a low value task. And so high value is defined, well, first let's just talk about the decision criteria for defining high value versus an appraisal of a task that's low value. High value tasks are long-term focused tasks. They're the tasks that keep you on mission, fulfilling your vision, reaching your goals, generating revenues and profits, reducing costs, and growing the business. Those are the things that as business owners, as leaders and managers of the organization, we need to spend more of our time on those high value tasks. And that means that we also have to understand that urgency is not a criteria for defining a high value task. The criteria is not how urgent or how immediate or the demand that's right in front of you right now. It's about making strategic decisions that focus you on the steps, the tasks, the process, the productivity, the effectiveness, the efficiency that gets your business toward those long-term goals. We want each person as much as possible focused on doing the things that only they have the expertise to do and are supposed to be doing. So think about this. High value tasks differ at different levels of the organization because as we go down into the organization, what each person is supposed to be doing is supposed to be their element of getting us towards those long-term goals and things. But there have to be people in there doing the mid-range and the low-value tasks because they're necessary. So I'm not saying a low-value task isn't necessary, and I'm not going to say it's not urgent. But low-value tasks are the tasks that consume your time and are about getting through today, getting through the short term. They may still be crucial. They may be urgent. They may be in enabling of us to be able to pursue those long-term items that are going to generate success, that are going to generate growth. They're necessary to the business, but necessary, urgent, immediate, short-term does not necessarily mean that you have to be doing it. In fact, the higher up in the organization you are, the less likely you should be devoting significant amount of time to those low value tasks. They're not no value. They're just not the best use of your time running your business, reaching for those long-term success goals. So I'll talk about this in another show, but unnecessary tasks creep into the business. So there's a very big difference between low value and no value tasks. And so we're going to weed out in a future time and expand on the concept of no value tasks, no value processes, things that our organization get caught up doing just because we've done them once or they've always been done. And now they're not necessary to the organization. So that's a contrast to a low value task that is still very necessary to the organization. It just isn't supposed to be done by you. So this gets us to the concept of delegation. What is delegation? I'm going to say delegation is an act of confidence first. Why do I say it's an act of confidence? Because delegation occurs when the person with the primary responsibility gives a member of their team the authority and the responsibility to carry out one or more activities. So delegation at its best is the core of effective management and leadership. It is in effect saying that you trust someone else to execute part of the work for which you're accountable. And that is confidence. And so we want to talk about that impact of delegation on relationships, on communication. And so think of it this way. When a leader, a manager, a superior, your boss, even a teammate in some instances, delegates to you, it's demonstrating their confidence in your skills and ability. And that feels good. So it accomplishes several things. It sets that person you're delegating up to learn more, to have more opportunities, to develop new skills, to be seen as more effective. It prepares them to step into new roles and step up to a promotion possibly. Another benefit is if you're training your team to be your replacement and you're giving the organization choices to fill your role when another opportunity comes up for you, think how fast you can move into that new role if your replacement is already on your team. I can remember in one of my first management jobs, I had the opportunity to be promoted to a different location and move halfway around the country and take on a new role to take over an acquisition site that the company had gotten and needed cleaned up, needed things to happen and happen really fast. And because I was successful in my first role, they said, as soon as you get your replacement trained, you can go to this new position. And I said, that's great. So can I start in 2 weeks, a month from now? And they're like, you got to train your replacement. I said, my replacement is already trained. My assistant manager has been trained on every aspect of how to operate this location. From soup to nuts, they knew how to do it. And they're like, what do you mean they knew how to do it? I said, if I want to be promoted, I have to equip the people under me to be promoted. And I fully believed that training my assistant manager to step up to the role would make me more ready, more available, to be seen as more confident so that when an opportunity came, I could snap it up if it was the right opportunity. So training your team develops a trust between you and your employees, you and your workers. It encourages them to step up and stretch their skill sets and to take on more activity. And the very process of delegation isn't a hands-off process in the initial stages. So it builds the ability to communicate between you and your subordinates. And so that is critically effective and important throughout the organization. Not only does it improve communication, it improves the morale of the organization. When people believe that you believe in them, that you give them opportunities, it increases their job satisfaction. It increases and improves how they see themselves and how others in the organization sees them. So it moves them up into a different state of mind and they become more productive because they're more confident. They are getting better results and they learn to make decisions. They learn to take things on. They learn to be accountable. And in turn, they're going to learn to walk as you walk and talk as you talk. They're going to replicate that delegation mentality. And so the right people in doing the right tasks, it's the person that most matches to the task that has the skills and abilities to do that. And so those less important, nah, I'm not going to say less important, those low value items that you're not going to spend your time on get delegated to someone lower in your organization. Then the low value tasks that are on their desk get delegated down. And it's a ripple effect. It's a domino effect. And so the organization ultimately puts the low value tasks at the most efficient and effective resource to carry them out. So it matches the value of the dollar value of what you're paying someone to do something to the value that's contributed on a day-to-day basis of those tasks. And so what happens is the organization as a whole gets optimized. It maximizes effort. It maximizes profitability because of matching the contribution to the cost of doing business. And so let's think of it this way. People resist delegation because for a lot of reasons. And when we think of those reasons, we can shoot them down. And we're going to shoot them down today in the context of why we want to delegate. So one of the ones we say, and I say this all the time, I am as guilty of this as anyone. It's quicker for me to do it myself. And so I've been saying that a lot lately. And I kept telling my colleagues, it's like, okay, this is a sign I have to find the right person to come in and take these items off of my desk. Because I know I'm super busy, I'm super aware, but I don't feel it's the most productive use of my time. Yes, it's quicker for me to go in and make a change in the website, but my website team has ramped up their staffing, and so they can take on the things and do things quicker than they were doing them. And so that is great. So now that my website team has ramped up their operations, I can get same day changes to the website. That makes a world of difference to me because we're moving so quickly on some of the website things for the new programs we've developed that when something has glitched or we've made a mistake or a link's not working properly or we're getting feedback on how something is laid out on the site and we want to change it now, not a week from now. And so I had found myself going in and making those changes on a daily basis and finding a low value task like that, consuming hours of my day, which meant I'm not getting to my podcasts, to my articles, to writing my book, to working on client projects. And so that says to me, low value, it's urgent, it needs to happen, but it's something I need to delegate off of my desk because I'm the only one that can write my book, that can write my articles, that can do my podcast, can do this radio show, can work with the clients. And so those are my high value tasks, and that's where my time needs to be spent. So we need to look at that from our perspective and monitor and be aware. So when you say it's quicker for me to do it myself, that's a short-term perspective on a long-term problem. And I want to talk about that a little bit more. So the short-term view of delegation is it's quicker in that moment to do it yourself. In the long-term perspective, we need to view it as I need to take the time to develop someone that I can delegate this to and make it clear how I want it done. Long-term perspective is finding a qualified expert or someone in your organization that can take on that task and you can work with them and you can dedicate the time to get them to the level they need to be to execute what is a low-value task on your chain but a high value or high return task to keep you short term in business and addressing those things. So let's talk about what low value tasks may be. So the example I just gave of maintaining the website, making changes, fixing problems is a low value task from my perspective because it's something I can delegate. That's something someone else can do and someone has the expertise to do for me. Something else that comes to mind as a low value task is screening email. Now, I have to admit, I'm something of a control freak for scanning my email. Why? Because there are confidentiality issues with sharing emails for clients and certain projects and things. And so I want to be very conscious of those. So to that end, an alternative to actually delegating to someone else is automating. And so I like to use rules in my email to sort things as they come in. So I try the first time something comes in from a new source, whether that's an electronic version of a magazine, it's updates on COVID-19 pandemics, it's, you know, educational materials, something related to continuing education, those things that are not urgent but fill up your email box, you can set up rules to send them to folders that says things to read, continuing education related, marketing related, business development related, and you can create these rules that when it comes in from a particular source, from someone, or contains a certain word, it goes into a certain file folder for you to look at later. So what ends up being remaining in your immediate folder of you need to look at these are the things like, for me, clients, project updates, things from my vendors, my third party, people who I've delegated things to. And it's all of the important things that need to rise above the levels of hundreds and hundreds of pieces of email that come on a daily basis. Now, again, I choose to use automation and create those rules as it come in because I want to be very aware of spending my time in my email on the things that are high value interacting with the customer, number one. And so when we set up those rules, we're setting them up in software, but we can also set those rules up with a person that's going through our email. Now, the challenges I've seen with that, and I have several colleagues that have people who screen their email for them. And for a long time, I would send emails to a couple of them and never got responses. And so we had that conversation one day and heard from them. And so it's like, well, you need to text me when you send me an email so I know to go look at it, because the person who screens my email may not know that you're a priority. And I'm like, okay, you got to communicate that. And now I'm having to do two or three steps to get you to see the information because the person screening your email is not up to date on what the priorities are. And so I see the glitch there, and that's not a glitch that's acceptable from my perspective. And I understand how everybody else works with their system and what works for them and what they're comfortable with. But from my perspective, if I'm screening my email, I want to be able to screen down the list and see what's there within my priority boxes. And if something new has come in, create that rule that sends it somewhere else for me to look at later. Because quite frankly, things that are nice to read, things that will update me, will generally still be there later. So they're universal. So the trade magazines, association magazines that I get to keep me up to date on what's happening in my fields will be there and will be still important 2 months from now, if that's how long it takes for me to get there, versus a COVID-19 update on compliance I need to look at now. So I can literally create a rule that says anything that says COVID-19 or SBA, EIDL, EIGL, whatever the abbreviations are, PPP, comes in, it needs to go into a COVID-19 folder under my priority mail to read, to see what I need to do with clients and with projects that we're doing and with my business. So we're sitting there, we're going through it, and I know that I'm going to scan through those at least by the end of the day to see if there's something I need to act on, something has changed. And that's how I choose to automate, how I choose to move a low value task to free up my time. Another task from the perspective of a business owner that is critical and crucial that happens, that facilitates the business being in business, but doesn't need to be done by the business owner, is bookkeeping. And so many of us get caught up in keeping, you know, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, and as soon as 4 hours doing our accounting, that we need to be aware that, yes, it's critical. Yes, it's important to the business. Yes, it must be done. It just doesn't have to be done by us. So one of the obstacles and reasons given we just talked about, it's quicker to do it myself. And I alluded to another one, control issues. For many of us, it's hard to give up control of tasks that need to get done. So it may be a self-confidence thing. It may be a fear of control. It may just be, you know, you're a micromanager or a control freak. Sometimes I gotta admit I'm a control freak because I want what's in my accounting system to be the way I want it. And I don't know how many accountants and bookkeepers I've gone through over the nearly 20 years because they couldn't get it that when I look at it, there's a reason why I want something recorded that way, why I want it in a class code versus a job code, why it has to be coded and split into different accounts and under different headings. So it's there. And that is a challenge. So it's, again, it's communication. It takes my time to get an accountant or a bookkeeper up on the way I want the information in my accounting system split so I can manage my business based on that. So I need to know how many hours I'm spending on a particular program. I need to know how much the direct costs are of software, of marketing, of different things that we're spending money on into that program so I can make decisions on that program's budget. What are the revenues? What are the costs? What profitability is coming out of there? Same thing on client projects. I want to know what I planned versus what I actually did for that client. And so that's critical to me, making the right decisions and tracking the costs with each client project. And so I have had 7, 8, 9, 10 accountants and bookkeepers in the course of the last 20 years because they would get lax on doing those things and they're responsible. Well, if you can do it yourself. That's not the best use of my time. So now I've had the same accountant, I am proud to say, I think for almost 9 years now. So half the time. So first few years of my business, first half of my business, I went through a lot of third-party bookkeeping providers and accountants, but they needed to do things the way my business needed it, not just how they wanted to do it and not lackadaisically. So is that a bit of a control freak? Is that micromanagement? You can call it. For me, it was effective management and it was what I needed as a financial professional that wanted to manage my business based on program, based on results, based on the revenues and the costs to be in business program by program, and to know how I estimate a client project versus how it really comes in, to know what I need to change when I'm proposing other project prices for future clients. And so that is really important to me. So excuses, quicker to do it myself, I have control issues. And there's a difference between having control issues and having very specific requirements. Some people will call that micromanagement. In the case of specific requirements for your business to run, that is just good business. Now, control freak micromanagement means you want to tell them how to do every little thing they're doing and the best way to do it. You want it done your way. And that's not what I was saying. I wanted the result I wanted. I didn't care to a large extent as long as it was legal, compliant, and satisfied GAAP accounting and was done identified project-wise in my accounting system. So that's one example. Okay, another common reason, excuse, for not delegating is I can't afford it. Many organizations are operating so lean, they don't have a full spectrum of expertise or headcount people in their organization to delegate to. And again, that gets back to making decisions on automation versus people and doing the analysis of having high value people doing low value tasks is a waste of company resources. And that's a discussion that has to happen throughout the organization. And the larger your organization, the more you're going to have to work to justify to your higher ups, to your leadership, that investing in people that are lower dollar salaries, lower dollar hourly wage to have some of these tasks is better than having your high dollar salaried people who have expertise that will produce revenue and profit for your business doing these tasks. So it's a trade-off. I remember one of my first jobs, let's say maybe it was my fourth job, it was my first job out of grad school, and got to an area where there was one admin for every 60 people. So what did that mean? It meant rather than someone back then making $20,000, $25,000 a year doing the admin tasks, there were people at $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, and $100,000 a year trying to do their own admin. Not the right use of time. Yes, we added more hours to our day to get the tasks done, but that if I'm going to work 100 hours a week, it should be working on the things that I have the expertise to do, that I went to school to, that only I can do that admin can't do. And so it doesn't make sense for me to be typing up letters and all those kind of things in those days versus me doing analytical things and doing productive things and managing my budget of $13.2 billion. I would be staying more and more time. And there were times I would get more and more tasks on my desk and I would ask someone, okay, you've given me 6 priority tasks that were high level tasks, high value tasks. One, which one is the priority? Because I can't do 6 things at once. And I have 5 things that you're asking me to do that are low value tasks. And you're telling me they're more important than the high value tasks. And I don't know how many times that I had to have this discussion with upper management that middle management would be asking me to do a low value task at a time I was beyond capacity and maxed out with my work schedule and the hours I was doing. And I had 6 high value tasks that needed to get done by a deadline. And someone was coming, and quite frankly, I can remember this guy's name was Kevin, and he wanted me to make a document pretty. And literally that was what it was. He wanted different colors. He wanted a different format. He wanted a different layout. And quite frankly, I said, no, I didn't have time for it. I was trying to do a capital expansion project at a manufacturing plant. And I had only so much time in the day, so many hours in the week. And I had a Friday deadline and we're sitting here on Monday and you want me to spend 12 hours making a document pretty that is an internal document that had been used for over a year at that point, and it hadn't been pretty. It was utilitarian. It didn't need to be pretty. It was a tracking document. And so make sure that when you can have the conversations about what are the priorities, if you want someone to make something pretty, and it's for an internal document type thing, it's internal tracking, really, you want it pretty. I want it effective. I want it usable. I want it to do what it needs to be done so I can do the pretty things, the important things for the customers, for the marketing, for the things that are going to move us along in long-term success. And so we have to share values. We have to share vision. We have to share perspective on what's important in the organization. And the organization leadership has to come together to understand at certain levels, certain things are going to be the high value things. If you want a low value task, like making a document pretty, then put it with someone whose time is not $100 an hour. That's $15, $20 an hour, because making a document pretty probably will go faster with someone that is focused on that's their skill set, that it's administrative or producing products and things with PowerPoint, with Word, with Publisher, with all of those different tools, versus someone that's a high skill, high value person that's been brought in to create financial models, for instance. And so I can't afford it is the response that we would get when we'd ask for more administrative support. The reality is you can't afford not to, 9 times out of 10, to make the investment in a lower wage, lower salary level person to take those low value tasks off your high value people. And so it's a matter of making a return on investment decision. Where's the best use of your high dollar, high value people doing high value tasks and not low value tasks? And so we need to really understand each task, each activity, and map out our jobs from that perspective. And I'll get into this in a little bit more detail, but I kind of want to pre-announce it, I guess is a good way to put it, that just like inventory items, let's think of it that way, in inventory and manufacturing, we used to have A-level, B-level, and C-level items. And so that was dollar value. That was how important they were in our production process. And the A-level items were managed very tightly. They were high dollar value. They were critical. And we didn't want to waste them, and we wanted to keep track of them. And so when we did inventory counts and inventory management, the majority of our focus were on those A-level items, the high-value, high-impact items. And then the B-level items were moderate value, moderate importance, not as important as the A-level items, but still important. And so they weren't focused on as much as the A-level, but they were certainly focused on at a higher level than the C-level items, the low-value items, the nuts, the bolts, the screws that we still needed, that were still important, but we had thousands of them. And so we didn't need to count every one of them. We just need to make sure we had enough for protection at all the time. And there was no difference between one nut, one screw, one bolt to the other one, as long as they were the right size, the right number, the right part for that set of needs. And so we've got to think of it from that standpoint too. Our hours, our time of our people are our inventory. It's what we use to produce our products and our services. And therefore, we need to manage it and focus on managing our time spent on those A-level items. And so part of that is developing our team, that delegation to that improve morale, improve expertise, to give people more experience. And so that brings us to another point, and that one of the reasons people don't delegate is that no one else in the organization knows how to do that task. They don't have the skill set. They don't have the expertise. And so there's no backup for that. And so that, again, is one of the reasons we need to be conscious and proactive in delegating and developing the skill sets of the people in our team to be able to back us up, to have more than one person in the organization able to do something. And so think about this. We have business continuity plans, and there's more and more focus on that given the pandemic and natural disasters and things of that have been occurring. And so we need to think about that from the standpoint of no one person in the organization should be the only person that knows how to do something. I had this conversation with a small business probably 10, 15 years ago now, right when I was starting my business. So probably 18 years ago now. And the conversation was the owner of the business was the reason the business existed. He was the product. He was the service. They had no insurance, key person insurance covering him. They had no plan for what happens if he got sick or something happened. And I kept saying to them, what if he gets hit by a bus? What if he gets ill? What happens to your business? It doesn't exist without him. And his wife worked in the business too. And she was taking one of my classes. And I said to her, how comfortable are you? What happens if you don't have this week's check? And she looked at me and she said, if we didn't get a check this week, we would lose our house. So as successful as the business was, as rapidly as it was growing, the reality was they were still living paycheck to paycheck. So delegation is a development tool for your team. Remember, we're motivating them. We're encouraging them. We're also developing their expertise and their capability. If you identify in any level of your organization that there is only one person capable of doing that particular task, high level or low level value, then you need to come up with a plan right now to take care of that and make sure that someone gets cross-trained on it or someone starts immediately learning what that skill is, whether that's software. I remember a client, again, it's probably been about 15 years ago, that only one person in their organization had the ability to access the database that contained everything about their business, including their customers, the customer's insurance policy information. Everything that was critical about their customer relationship was in a database that only one person had access to and knew how to use. And I kept telling them, it's like, you got to get it back up. Somebody has to be able to log into that database. You have to get someone in there. And just the process of them asking him to train someone else or give logins to that database made that employee lose it, to the point they ended up calling the police to come and mediate his behavior because he literally lost it. And so they had to hire a specialist in databases to go in there and get them access to their information. And it was a very expensive lesson for them to learn because that employee did not have good intentions because they deliberately were isolating the company owner and the rest of the team from that customer information. That was their job security, and that was the threat they actually made whenever they were told they had to give someone else access to that information. They weren't going to do it, and what were they going to do about it? Because they had the control of that information, and they couldn't get rid of them, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a scary situation. And unfortunately, we get held hostage by critical assets, by critical people in the organization when we don't make sure we have backups, access to information, and full knowledge of what's going on in our organization. So delegation is the responsibility and the authority to get something done on your behalf. But it isn't giving up your role in making sure that what is happening with what you delegated actually occurs. It's also not giving up your need, your responsibility to still have the knowledge within the organization, the capability to see that those things have happened. So there's still a monitoring effect. There's still a coaching and development role. You're still involved. You're just not executing it and you're not doing it. And so it's not, delegation doesn't mean you're walking away. It means that you're authorizing someone to act on your behalf. And so that also means you need to monitor, you need feedback, and you need to make sure that what gets delivered is up to your standards. And so looking at that, and we're looking at making choices about what to delegate. I had a conversation with one of my newer clients earlier this year, and she was under so much stress, and we were talking about it, and it was like, she goes, I'm spending so much time doing my accounting. I hate accounting. It's not what I want to do. I need to be out with the customers. I need to be out managing projects. And I fully agreed. So when we're talking about making decisions on what to delegate, a lot of people are unsure what is okay to delegate. And I say anything is eligible to delegate including your accounting, or especially your accounting, if you hate it, if it's not what you're in business to do. So if you're a CPA and your job is to do tax returns for your clients, then that is something you can delegate to your employees who are qualified, and you review them and those kind of things. But are you supposed to be doing your day-to-day bookkeeping in your accounting business? I say no. That's something you can delegate, because what you're in business to do is prepare someone's tax returns and get paid for that. You're not supposed to be doing your day-to-day bookkeeping. You want to free up your time to serve the customer to generate revenue. And so that's sort of the difference. So a couple more reasons why people don't delegate is that they just haven't found a way to decide what to delegate. What's the thing that they should be able to hand off to someone else? In a few minutes, I'm going to give you some criteria for making those decisions as to what you're going to delegate, and we're going to get into that, and it gets back to those ABC levels in part. Another reason people don't delegate is they had a bad experience. And once burned, twice shy is the old saying, and that's true when it comes to delegation. I can remember early on having my business, I had someone, a virtual administrative assistant, take over some of my scheduling, confirming appointments for speaking engagements and things of that nature. And I lived just outside of Raleigh, and so I had to go into Raleigh for the speaking engagement. And I'd asked her to call and confirm the time that I had been given to speak. And what she ended up doing was calling to confirm the time the event was taking place, not when I needed to be there to speak. Consequently, I arrived 2 hours early for the speaking engagement. It did not give me enough time to go back to the office and come back in or go do something else. So I had to find somewhere in a restaurant, fortunately in the same location. I found a restaurant that I could sit down and I could work. And fortunately, I had my computer with me because of the speaking engagement, so I was still able to be productive. But instead of being truly productive at what I should have been working on, a specific high value task that day, I worked on other high value tasks, but not the ones that I would have chosen to. I worked on the ones that I could do with my laptop that I had with me. And so that's critical to understand. I had a bad experience, and I was reluctant to get anyone else and to work with me on administrative things. Unfortunately, I am blessed in my business that I had a mother that was in banking and worked for an oil and gas company and knew administrative tasks and bookkeeping and was really good with customer service and things. And so for a while I was looking for assistance and how to find that path to delegation again, I had what I said in my manager of operational messes. My mother, God bless her, stepped up and traveled with me and helped me with events and manning my booth and taking payments and doing bookkeeping and balancing checkbooks and all of those kind of administrative tasks. And so we said she was the manager of operational messes. She was the company mom. And that was an interim step for me. Not everyone has a mother, a spouse, a sibling that can step into their organization while you're looking for an alternative and someone else to delegate to that you can trust and has the expertise you need. But we do need to get creative in finding those resources. And I was speaking to a very successful young lady who does events around the country, and she took an interesting approach to finding her administrative assistant, and she went on Angel's List and looked for a co-founder for her business, and they're working towards the day that that assistant will actually be equity owner stake in her business, and they have an agreement in place to do that. And so that is a very different approach than going to a virtual assistant, to hiring an employee, to doing different things. And so get creative, find out what works for your business and finding the skill set that works for your business and pursue it that way. Don't think you have to do everything the way everybody else does it. Do what's right for your business and get creative. So I've run through some of the major excuses why people don't delegate. It's quicker to do it themselves. They have control issues. They can't afford it. No one in the organization knows how to do the task or has the skill set. They lack the confidence. They don't know if they can manage the process, or they're not sure what to delegate, or they've had a bad experience. So let's talk about the delegation process. What do you delegate? When do you delegate it, and to whom are you going to delegate it? Those are the three critical elements. So what to delegate begins with an assessment of your tasks and your activities. And I was just talking about this. Those A-level, B-level, and C-level tasks, the high-value tasks, the moderate-value tasks, and the low-value tasks. And we want to analyze our jobs, and I will argue that throughout your organization, everyone needs to analyze their jobs along these contexts, high-value, moderate-value, low-value tasks. And this analysis should be a comprehensive list. It doesn't have to be an exhaustive list, meaning you don't have to have everything on there. But you should be adding things to this list when you realize you've left it off. I like to keep a running list of what I have to do. And these are daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual tasks. And you define each task as to the critical elements. So what is a high-value task? We talked about this. It's the elements, the things you have to do that have high-value impact for the long-term success and growth of your business. Examples may include something like recruiting a high-expertise position that only you can make the determination of if the person will fit, they have the skill sets, they're the personality, and all the things that you need for them to be successful in the organization and help your business be successful. It may be working with a crucial high maintenance, high dollar customer. It could be all kinds of different things. Your business dictates what your high value items are. The other thing is, does the task that you're outlining have a high expertise or specialized skill set requirement? Those high expertise items are the ones that you may have to take special steps to eventually have someone to back you up for that continuity plan I mentioned earlier. So are there tasks that provide an opportunity to develop your team member skills and expertise? How often does a task reoccur? Is it a daily task? Is it several times a day? Is it weekly? Do these tasks provide ongoing benefits? And is it something that if you created a position, you hired someone, or you designated someone in your organization to take on those occurrences, those tasks, is that going to provide an ongoing benefit? You ultimately want your list of tasks, your list of activities ranked from those major and minor tasks. I do mine on a spreadsheet, which shouldn't surprise anybody after all these years, because I find the spreadsheet easier to sort. I can update it. I can add it at the bottom. I can tag everything there, and then I can sort it. I can say all my A levels are together, all my B levels are together, all my C levels are together. I can also go back, and if I've assigned it to someone, so my website person, my PR person, an admin, whoever, I can sort and see how many tasks I've given them. I need to know the frequency of the task, the skills and expertise that are required for that, how important that is. Is it a gating task so that it would hold something up if it doesn't get done on time completely and with quality? You're answering the questions of when, how, and to whom the task is going to be going to. And so by creating this spreadsheet that tells you the information that's going to make you make those decisions. When are you going to delegate it? Well, it depends on the frequency. It depends on the importance. It depends on the expertise that's there. And it depends on if you have someone that is capable of doing the task and receiving the delegation to the delegee, I guess it would be, if there's such a word. So again, I want to make a very important point. I think everyone in the organization should have a continuity or contingency plan for the unexpected. One of my clients, their office manager went out, and she was the one that does 90% of the low-value tasks in the organization. It turned out she was the only person that knew how to use 50% of the software. So when she had a car accident and couldn't come into work, they quickly had to scramble and give her a way to work from home. But the reality was they needed someone in the organization. They needed documentation of policies, procedures, logins, and those kind of things, and someone for continuity that could back her up a few hours a day, short term, long term. They needed a plan. So knowing whoever can take over a crucial job, even the low value tasks that are often the tasks that are the most common interfaces with your vendors, with your customers, and are crucial to the business, just are not meant for you to spend your time on, is important, is key, is critical, is every urgent word I can put out there. You need a continuity plan and a contingency plan for the unexpected in your business. COVID-19 should have taught us this at this point. What happens if a key person in your organization gets sick? What happens if a large portion of your organization gets sick? What happens, heaven forbid, of an economic downturn because of COVID-19 again, and half of your workforce you can't afford to keep, and the half that you can't afford to keep have critical skill sets, and no one else knows how to do that part of your business? You have to be prepared. So again, after creating the task list, I want you to assign that level A, B, or C to each of the items, 1, 2, 3, whatever works, whatever is going to be your priority. And I want you to evaluate that. On the flip side, I want you to go through your organization and identify the team members, their skill sets and things. And then I want you to match those A, B, and C level tasks that you're going to keep or delegate and move around to those people and their skill sets. And it's really important that you know when to delegate the delegatable tasks. And from that list, you're going to go down that. You're going to keep the A items, the majority of them. Now, at some point, you're going to start developing people that know how to do those A items. You're going to coach them through it because you want to move up or you want to do more. There's going to be more and more A items on that list, and you just won't have the hours in the day to do that. So a critical aspect of that successful delegation is the timing and support of the people that you delegate to. So the first time you delegate tasks, even these low-level tasks that we're talking about, you're going to have to invest time in working with the person you delegate it to set the parameters, to set the expectations, to set the boundaries, to teach them how to use the system, to help them understand the priorities. If they're sorting your email, who's a priority? How do they determine? When should they ask you when someone pops up? So like my friend, when my emails came in, the priority should have been tagged that says, when I get something from Lee, immediately send it to me because she doesn't send me junk. We're working on this project together. And so that would eliminate the need for me to have to send and resend things, and things we're still not getting through, and then discover I needed to text to tell you I've sent, so that you can go look for the item that your assistant who's screening your email may have put somewhere else because she didn't know that it was important. Those kind of things. Or I have another vendor that doesn't monitor email during the day, twice a day, morning and evenings, all they look at it. So if there's something urgent, I need to send it to them in the email to tell them what it is, what I want it to happen, how I want it handled, what the system is, etc. But I have to text them to let them know to go look in their email. So that gives me, the customer, an extra step and takes more of my time to deal with that. So again, when we create systems for our customers to use, make sure they're customer-friendly systems and that effective delegation can take place. We need to see when we're delegating if we have the time to manage that process. What we don't want to do is fall back to say it's quicker for me to do this all the time, because that means we never delegate that task and it's always ours forever and ever. Amen. And that always will take time away from our high value tasks. So there's a trade-off point between not having enough time to go through the delegation process and having to make the time to go through the delegation process so that long-term, those low value tasks get off our desk and out of our schedule. So recognizing we need time when we delegate to provide support, to check progress, to review the work, to send it back for a rework, to coach, to make sure that the quality's there, etc. And so who are we going to delegate to? We're going to go through our list of potential people to delegate to and make decisions. If, let's say you're a sole proprietor, you're the only one in your company, that means you need to find third-party people or you need to hire employees to come in. So you're a sole proprietor with no employees. Are you going to add an employee or are you going to hire a virtual assistant? Are you going to hire some bookkeeper, some other type things? And so making the decision between people that will be employees and people that will be 1099s under the true definition of employee and 1099, not the convenient definition of we don't want to have the payroll responsibility, so we're going to give them a 1099. That's a whole nother conversation that we've had before on this show. But we need to decide based on skill sets. If we don't have the skill sets in our organization, we need to go look for those skill sets. So this is a time for me to ask you this. How well do you know your team? I don't know how many times I was in a large organization and I was recruited for a specific skill set. I was recruited for a specific background and experience that I had with a company that was a competitor. And by the time I got into the organization and was working for my boss, they seemed to have forgotten that I ever worked for the competitor. And so when they were doing competitive analysis of that competitor, they didn't even ask me about it. And I saw some of their analysis one day, and this competitor had one of the most robust business systems for how they did things and how they costed out products and services and how they managed projects, that I was always shocked that I wouldn't be giving them specific cost information or anything proprietary, but I could tell them how they costed things, how their systems worked. And when I looked at that report that they were actually giving to the chairman of the board of the entire company, better than 30% of their information that they were providing was wrong. And so they were asking me to do something technical to fix with the presentation, the PowerPoint slides, and I went in to do that. Again, low value versus high value, but actually at that point, I was the only person that knew how to fix it, so I guess that was the right. I had to ask them, did they want me to fix their presentation for factual information too? And they said, yeah, if you see something that's wrong. And so I corrected it. And then they got into the presentation and they didn't know 30% of the content of their slides. And somebody asked them why they didn't know it. And they said, well, I had put it in there. And then the conversation came up, well, why could she put it in there if she wasn't on the project and she was just fixing the presentation? I said, oh, she used to work there. And that was a huge conversation then for the organization. It's like, why were we spending all this extra time and money and resources doing competitive analysis and competitive data collection when we had an expert on the company inside our company, on our team? And they didn't have an answer for that. And so that was frustrating on my part as the lower level employee. And it was tremendously frustrating for the chairman of the company saying, what are you people doing, not knowing who you have sitting in the next office from you? So how well do you know your team, update your knowledge of their expertise, their attitudes, their skills, their experience, their workload before you consider anyone for delegation? Make sure that you have not forgotten or you didn't know something about your team members, that an expertise, a skill, an experience that they bring to your organization. Remember, they weren't born just before they started working for you. They have lives outside of your organization, which means they may be doing volunteer work or involved in community groups or nonprofits, doing something that gives them more experience, more expertise that you aren't aware about. They might be doing continuing education. They might be going for their college, an associate or bachelor's degree or an MBA or an MS or some other advanced degree, their PhD. And so make sure that you are constantly updating and asking your people to update you when they get certifications, when they're going for a specialized continuing education, whatever they're doing to build their marketability. Let them build it working for you and put it to work for you versus let them build it and take it somewhere else because they don't think there's an opportunity to use it or to advance in your organization. Delegation, again, improves morale, improves job satisfaction, and gets your employees back into the flow of your organization. It motivates, it teaches, it develops, it improves, and it increases. And so you really, really don't want to forget that your team is out there on a daily basis growing. Demonstrate your confidence. Learn about your team. Keep the lines of communication open. Where they want to go, how they want to grow, where they want their career to go. Communicate. Learn about your team and have more opportunities to develop them through delegation. Also important to know is their communication style. Are they going to have to be told everything they're going to do, or are they going to ask? If they're not sure, are they going to raise an issue? Can you give them broad parameters and let them fill in the details, or do you have to give them the details and point them in the right direction and help them develop confidence in their ability to get things done? Are they overconfident or are they uncertain? Know your team before you delegate. And so take that hidden potential, assess their skills, bring your team together, and consciously make the strategic decision to delegate. Create your activity and task spreadsheet. Don't forget to assign the rank of A, B, or C, 1, 2, 3 to the priorities. Develop a spreadsheet of your team members with the vital information about them, their vital statistics, education, experience, organizations they're engaging with, credentials, all of those kind of things. Identify the people who can do the work and match those tasks to the work. That will tell you when to delegate. It'll tell you what to delegate, and it'll tell you to whom you can delegate. And don't walk away. You need to maintain awareness of letting new low-value tasks creep into your day. Or those old ones that you delegated, you may get tempted to look through your email. There's different things. You have that ability, I have a few minutes, just let me look at this, and then it's 4 hours later. Don't always think that delegation is solely to a person. You can automate tasks. There are workflow automation. There are rules. There are all kinds of things that can be put into play to speed up your process, from scheduling to email management to all kinds of things. So in conclusion, it may seem like you don't have the time to delegate. It may seem like it's not worth it. In the short run, it may be painful. It may be that you don't truly have the time. But in the long run, if you want your business to succeed and grow, you have to learn to delegate. Delegation is an investment in the future of your business, and it can significantly expand the amount of work that gets done. And until next time, everyone, this is Lee Strickland on Focus on Business. Stay focused on the important things, and stay safe.